For members only, Golf Smarter number 409, published on November 5, 2013.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
A good golfer's arms never pass the body with Tony Manzoni.
This is Golf Smarter.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter for members only, Tony.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you again for sticking around and recording. Forget the recording. For sticking around and answering more of my questions.
I just love it, Fred.
Oh, that's very kind of you. There's many things that you said in our last conversation that I want to like bring back and get more detail from you out of that. Like when you talked about being under pressure and hooking the ball, you said when you were playing competitively when you were young, whenever you were under pressure, you would hook the ball. Now, 40, 50 years later, and you look back on that, do you know what that was?
Sure, I know what it was. As I got into learning to be more of a connected rotating or having a connected rotating swing, I realized that the movement of the left arm and the right arm for that matter, but the left arm, when you go back in the backswing, no matter how you take it back, your left arm goes somewhat across your chest, okay? And it connects somewhere near the left armpit and the right armpit. So that's why you'll see a lot of tour players will put a towel across their chest and then put their arms on the top of the towel and hit shots that way. What they're doing, it's restrictive in a way, but they're teaching themselves that the body moves the arms. The arms don't move off the body and then back on the body. It's not to say that you can't do that, and there have been some good players that did that, but I don't think they had very long careers. Without naming a lot of guys, there's a lot of guys on the senior tour now that can't play a lick that were champions on the regular tour. And it's because their game was based on disconnecting and connecting, swaying to the right and swaying to the left, and so forth. But in my swing, what I realized was that when my arms get to impact before my left side is cleared, because the head is heavier than the handle, if you swing the arms away from the body and just swing a golf club, you'll see that the club head turns over prior to impact because of the weight of the handle, weight of the head. The head weight will roll the club head. So these people that try to teach people to roll the club head, if you just swing your arms ahead of your body, it's going to roll. If I want to hook a ball around a corner, I just keep my back to the target and throw my arm forward, and that club face is closed a foot from the ball. So I'm gonna snipe hook it, okay? Well, that's what I did under pressure, because under pressure, we all get a little fast on the down. Can't help it, okay? And I didn't realize that the faster my arms went, the slower my body went. So they didn't correspond, and they won't. You throw your arms ahead of your body, and there's a saying, a good golfer's arms never pass the body, never past the body. Now you say, wait a minute, I see the club, but it's not, because if you follow the turning of the body, the club is staying in front of the body, but it's not going past it. So this is how it works, real simple. You stand up to the ball. I like you to set up 60-40. You take the club back, it goes across your chest, and it connects somewhere high on the left pectoral muscle, okay? But when you get to the top, instead of letting the arms come free of the body and pulling the arms down, keep the position that you have at the top and rotate your chest area. Now, I'm not going to say hips, because if you're on that left side, you don't have to throw your legs first or any of that craziness. Unwind what you wound up. Unwind your chest and shoulders around your pivot leg, pulling your arm through. And if you unwind properly, you'll be unwinding to the left, just like on the backswing. You had to unwind to the right. So when you unwind, your body's going to turn to the left. So when you finish your golf swing, your right shoulder should be pointing at the target. The center of your chest should be pointing quite a bit left of the target. And if you watch the tour, ladies or men's, you'll see that that's how most of the players are finishing. No one's tilted back with high hands. Everything is around, because players are finding that's a more effective way to play. So when we're connected, and I mentioned that at the right arm, sure, because the right arm can't come loose and go out away from the body on the downswing, because the elbow will be out of position. So that closed armpit of the right side is just as important as a closed armpit on the left side. So with both of them closed, what the right arm does in the backswing is you turn, the right arm folds to a position, and that's your position. But that's how you get the club back. You don't do it with your wrist cock. You do the arm fold, okay? And it sets the wrist so that the club head or the shaft in your left arm form kind of an L position, okay? We don't want a V position. That's too much wrist cock. We want this L position. Your back is the target. The club looks 3/4. And if you look at the tour today, you'll see most everybody like that. You don't see that pass parallel look except for a few out there. And they have one commonality. They get wild with the driver. They don't know if it's going right or left under pressure. Okay. The ones that are compact, they're popping it in the center all the time. Louis Oosthuizen, there's a bunch of them that are rotators. But anyway, so we're at the top of the swing. The left arm is connected high in the pectoral. The right arm, you could be holding a handkerchief under the armpit. The elbow is not touching the body, just the armpit is closed. You just take that and you rotate to the left around the pivot leg, which is your left leg if you're right-handed, and you just keep rotating, and the club comes last. And it's kind of like a hockey player, the action of a hockey player with a stick to a puck. It's a one-piece action. It's not a throw of the arms. It's a rotation of the body. On my video, you can see that little exercise I do that makes you instantly feel this. And if there's any one thing that you must do, it's that. Ben Hogan said, if you take all your natural instincts and do the opposite, you'll have a pretty good golf swing. And he's absolutely right, because when the ball's down on the ground and we've got the club in our hands, the tendency for us is to hit down on that golf ball, to throw those arms. And we've been told, hit down on the ball. If you have the club, let's say a shoulder height, and you swing it to the other side, the club has to come down to go up. So there's no need to try to hit down, because all you're going to do is you're going to create tension, and you're going to get steeper than you should. The swing has a shape to it. It's kind of a U shape. So there is a bottom to it, but you don't need to do anything to get there. It has to get there for it to go back up on the other side. So I never advocate hitting down on a golf ball, because then you're thinking about impact too much. And then what we get into anticipating impact, which causes a tensioning. And that's why all the beginners, you see beginners top the ball and the guy says, you looked up. Okay. And now you got their faces glued to the ground and glued to the ball, and they still top it. You looked up. And that's such a bunch of baloney. It's just you tighten up. And so when you anticipate impact, you're grabbing that handle tighter. You're getting ready to hit something. Okay. That shortens the muscle, pulls the club to the center or top of the ball, and you roll it on the ground. So when we're playing golf, and as I teach all my students, I'm teaching you where your body is in relationship to that golf ball, on the backswing and on the through swing. And that body has to be on the ball, on the coil, and then the whole right side goes past the ball on the through swing. And the ball's in the way of that action. If you focus on that back of that ball, or hit down on that ball, or try to keep your head down on that ball, you're going to hit a lot of shots behind the ball. Because when we start, when we put that golf club behind the ball, if we bring it right back to that spot, we're going to go divot ball. And we don't want to do that. We want to go ball divot. So there has to be a forwardness somewhere in that motion to hit the ball first and then take the divot. That's the through motion. So when, for all of you out there that hit the ball thin or hit behind it, that's because you are behind it. You're not supposed to be behind it when you hit it. You're supposed to be moving through it. You're supposed to be on the left side. So don't buy into that crap that I hear all the time. Stay behind it. Keep your head back behind it. That's nuts. There's no sport that you do that. You hit a tennis ball, you move forward. You throw a punch, you move forward. You throw a baseball, you move forward. You got to move forward. You got to move through it. Now, I'm not saying that your heads go ways forward, but that's not the golf swing. If you rotate past that golf ball, that club has come in last, and it's going to hit the ball with all the force of your core. When you try to stay behind the ball, all you're doing is throwing your arms forward of your body, which is the worst thing you can do if you're going to try to not only hit it far, but hit it straight.
The golf swing is supposedly circular. Like if you follow the club head around, it's a circle, correct? Around your body?
It's a rotational move. That's the only way that our body moves. Right. When you walk, you rotate. So it's a rotational move, and rotation doesn't mean straight back and straight through. That's why when people say take the club straight back, you know, that's really not correct, because the body's turning. The club has to stay in front of you relative to where the body is. So when the body's turning, if the club's in front of you, but it'll be inside the line of the, it'll be inside the ball line as it must be. You can't take the club back on the ball line and swing it down the ball line. And I hear that all the time. Oh yeah, he kept that club going right down the ball line. Baloney. You can't do that. The club, the toe has to be turning because you're turning. Okay. You got to trap that golf ball. The more you push that club down the line, the what's going to happen just out of the construction of the club, the neck, because that's where the shaft is, the neck is going to lead that club, and the toe is going to be back, and you're going to hit everything right, you know, or slice the ball. And the blade's going to open up. The more you push it straight back at that at the target, the more the blade's going to open up. That club has to come back. You know, the path of the swing is from square. It goes inside, back to square, back to inside. So that's the shape of the golf swing, and that's what your body is doing. It's like a hub and a spoke. Your body is rotating, and the club is rotating relative to what your body's doing. That's why good players connect the arms to the body, and the arms move where the body takes them. They're not trying to take the club back and put it in a position, because it's, then it becomes disconnected to the body, and then they've got to reroute the arms back to where the elbow hits that inside of the hip area to hit the golf ball. Oh, who the heck can do that on a consistent basis? Mm. Am I making you crazy?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much going on right now in my head. It's like there's
a
storm.
But you know, if you were in front of me and I set you up and you had some idea of the golf swing, you've been playing a while, okay, but you know, I slice everything or I hook everything or whatever, I show you that when your arms go free of the body on the downswing, the club is either going to roll over or you're going to hang on to it and it's going to stay open. And that's why you can get up and hook one ball and then you guard the next one.
And you pull it. Yeah. So when you're addressing the ball and you're setting up with the ball at with the club face, you're staring at the ball, your club face is sitting just behind it. Mm-hmm. But when you come through on your swing, that is not the base of your swing, right? The base of it would be in front of the ball, right? The bottom part of your, the bottom part of the swing would be, you know, when you're falling through, because you want to hit the ball and then hit the ground. You want to make the divot after you hit the ball.
Yes. Well, it's that turning through impact that brings the club so that the ball is being struck on the downswing. So it hits the ball, hits the turf. When you're in the proper position, just prior to impact, okay, the club is coming down, it strikes the ball, and it takes a little bit of divot. When you get behind the ball, when you have too much weight on the right side just trying to hit the golf ball, you're going to come down in behind the ball. You're going to bring the club kind of where you had it to start with. So you're going to go divot ball. And that's how most people hit it. They take real deep divots, and even when they hit a good shot, they still hit them a little flabby because they're in the wrong position. They're behind the golf ball. If you look at a picture at impact of a good player, you'll see that his chest area is not in the same position as it was at address. Like some people try to say, get back to address. His left side is open. It's turned open. Okay. And the right side is now driving past the golf ball. If you look at, you want to see a great swing, look at Annika Sorenstam. That girl had more birdies of 2 and 3 inches because she hit it so dead at the hole because she was turning towards the target and the arms were being pulled. So she was trapping that club dead square. So if she unwound properly, the ball went right where she unwound to. Hmm. And that's what we're looking for, to learn to hit the ball without a lot of side spin. Now, when I want to cut it or draw it, you know, I do it by memory. I just set up to the ball and feel like I'm going to do it. But there is a process to doing it that I practiced for a lot of hours as a young man. But I primarily hit the ball with very little movement on it, especially with my irons, because of this action. I can remember in the past to hit it near the pin, I had to aim it, you know, a club or two to the right of the green and draw it in. I don't do that anymore. I can go pin hunting. Because of this action, I know I'm not going to put very much side spin on the ball. Side spin comes from the club face closing or opening at impact. That's all it is. I mean, it's not a big secret. So when you swing a free arm swing, that club is going to roll. I mean, anybody that's listening to me, you know, just take a golf club out and swing it with your arms a little bit away from you, and you'll see that the weight of the club will turn the club over. And it's going to turn it over generally before you hit the golf ball. And then the next time, because you're scared to death that's going to happen, you're going to hang on to it tight, so you're going to hold the blade open. So neither one of them are any good. You can't count on them. So you got to have a golf swing that if it's tight as heck and you got trouble right and trouble left, that you can get up there and free swing it and know, absolutely know, that you're not going to touch either bad area, that you're going to carve it into the fairway one way or another. You're going to power slice it or soft draw it, but you're going to put it in the fairway. And I can still do that. I just can't, you know, I just can't hit it far enough to really, really compete. If they put me up on that ladies' tees or old guys' tees, I'll play with anybody.
Dude, you said you're hitting it all. You just told me on the last episode that you're hitting the ball 265 on your drives. What do you mean?
Yeah, but that's short compared to what people hit it now. I mean,
You're 30 yards behind if you're playing with 25-year-old PGA Tour players.
They play blue tees, I play white tees. And so I'm at least a little bit up with them or sometimes a little past them with the drive. You know, when I created the mixed team championship that was on television for, 16 years, what we did is we figured out what women would need, professional women would need to compete against men. They need 75 yards. Because they not only needed distance on the drive, but they needed on the second shot so that they could hit into a par four, a drive and 7 or 8 iron. Because most men are hitting those kind of clubs. Prior to that, the gals were playing the courses so long that no one was reaching par fives and two, and they were hitting long irons into par fours. And when we came up with this concept, this was many, many years ago, that tournament kind of changed the way the girls perceived the golf course should be. Because a hardliner said, no, you're making it too easy. And I said, look, men are shooting 19 or 20 under par every tournament, the winners are, and you're shooting 6 and 7. The perception then from the general public is, well, you're not playing as good because you're shooting higher scores, but you're playing a lot tougher golf course. You know, they were set up like they would be, it was like setting up a men's golf course at 7,800 yards. That's the kind of golf course the women played it for a long time. And we changed that, but we found that on the average gal that pops the ball out there, they need about 75 yards, and then they can compete. Well, that's the same by going up. You know, when I go up on a tee, I go up about 30 yards. Well, that makes it that adds 30 yards to my tee shot. I'm in the game now.
So in the history
of
golf,
with my buddies, we don't play championship tees. I mean, no. You play
to have a good time, right? You play the white tees, and it's like so proud to be. You're proud to be playing the whites.
Play up. I mean, I love it. If sometimes I play with clients, they say, well, "Look, we're going to play the senior tees." I love it. Can't wait. You know, I don't have any ego about that.
Good for you.
Because I know what my limitations are. But if you put me 150 yards from the green every hole, I'm going to make a lot of birdies.
Hmm. In the history of golf, are different sets of tees a relatively new thing?
No,
they've always had
most
that.
Most golf courses have ladies' tees and men's tees, but most golf courses...
Now they're introducing kids' tees.
I've been on a lot of golf courses where the ladies' tees were 20 yards further than the men's. That's a joke.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, they should be pretty close to 100 yards on every single hole for the ladies to enjoy the game like men do. You know, you see gals out there with a driver on a par three. Well, you make the par three long enough to where they have to hit drivers. You wouldn't see very many pars, okay, even at the big boys. So I mean, it becomes an oversight. When people design golf courses, they design them for the men, and they don't consider the gals. They put the red tees here, but they don't do it. They don't do it mathematically based on how far most of the gals hit it. So, you know, when the gals break 100, they go crazy. They pop the champagne and give everybody a pin. That's a joke. If you put them in the right place, they're going to be shooting in the 80s, and the good ones will get in the 70s.
Well, when you say the courses are being designed for men, I think that the courses are being designed for PGA Tour events, because they're making the courses longer and longer and longer, which is playing into their hands of these guys who can hit the ball a mile and a half, and yet they don't have the short game.
There's a perception, and it happens in our own valley where they'll build what they call the championship tees, and they'll put them back in the corner. Where they, you know, the designer didn't even want them to be, okay? Because they think that by doing that, they're going to bring more members in. But typically, these clubs the membership is $300,000. Well, how many young people do you know that will plunk down $300,000 to join a club? So it's usually older, successful people that don't hit it very far.
Right.
So they make these tees so that they can say, well, ours is a 7,300 or 7,400 rated course, blah, blah, blah. Meaningless. Doesn't mean a thing because nobody plays them.
Right.
You know, and it makes the game slow, and you get these, you get these guys that are 18 handicaps going back there, and they ruin the game for the people behind them. I'm not advocating that we put the tees up where you're on the fringe of the green teeing off, but we know there's a mean average of what your membership hits the ball. We know what they hit it, and that's what the golf course should be played from. And for ladies, you know, come on, how many gals hit it 175 yards? Okay, so you can't put them on a 370-yard hole or a 400-yard hole. That's crazy. They're beating a three wood on their third shot. You know, what kind of fun is that? That's why I say I'm very sensitive to this issue because I work with a lot of lady professionals in my life, and I've given them zillion lessons to gals. And the big majority, I mean, the, you know, 80%, you know, can't hit it 200 yards. Can't.
No.
Okay, so now they get on a golf hole that's 390. You know, I mean, if they get on in two, they might have a heart attack. It shouldn't be that way. They should be, if they hit their good drive, they should have some kind of an iron or a rescue club to hit. But some kind of an iron. It's unfairly set up. And again, I think it's a responsibility of a golf course and the management to understand these things and then sit down and come up with an idea. Okay, what do we think our gals hit the ball? And then plot out a hole so that they can hit some kind of a mid iron into that green. And that's where the tee should be. Okay. And then you'd see that the gals have a lot more fun. And the game is more playable for them.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the scores, I give lessons at a lot of clubs. They invite me there to teach. And every now and then there's a tournament. You look at the scores, 120, 115, 110. Every now and then you get somebody in the 90s. And that's the field. And these are girls that have been playing a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're older. Yeah, you get the, you know, the young members, 21 or 22 or 23, that married some guy. Well, some of those gals can play. They're fresh out of college, and they can pop the ball. But most of the gals are in the 50s and 60s. Where are they going to hit the golf ball? You know, and a lot of them were taught at that age because their husband played golf, and they were, come on, honey, you got to learn. We'll play golf together. That kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you have the same frustrations that I have when you go out and play with people, and they, especially at a course they've not played, they go, well, what's the distance? Let's play from this tee because it's 69. They want to do yards, and they don't look at the rating slope.
Yeah, exactly. I know that a lot of courses, even the men's, let's just say the white tees, because they have so many different colors now. But let's say the back is the blue tees and the middle is the white tees. A lot of times the white tees are, you know, 10 yards ahead of the blue tees, which is crazy. It's ludicrous.
So weird.
But again, there's no thinking done. At the start of every day, when those tees are set, someone should be setting them based on what the club professional, you know, that he set that golf course up for the superintendent. You can't expect the superintendent, that in most cases do not play the game, and the superintendent's not setting the tees. It's his workers who probably don't play the game. So they just cut it down and put the tee markers there with no thought that somebody's got to play from here. So the golf course plays way beyond the slope rating, way harder.
Right, right.
And that's you know, we talk about slow play. That's one of the reasons we have slow play.
It's because people play are
out there
tees.
with a long iron on their third shot.
Right.
It has nothing to do with their ability. It has to do that it's too long.
Yeah, people are playing from the wrong tees. Their egos get in the way. They slow down the pace of play. They're scoring high numbers when they shouldn't be. It's just this endless cycle of garbage there.
Right, and it's ruining the game for a lot of people, and it's costing a lot of money because, you know, if you have a lot of slow play, you can't get players on the golf course. But a lot of it goes back to management and the planning of where those tees should be. There has to be calculations made based on where you think the majority of people hit the golf ball so that they can, enjoy the sport. You know, when you're a successful man and you've worked all your life, you don't want to play golf that's beating the heck out of you all the time. And you're never going to say, this is too hard for me. No one wants to do that. You know, no one wants to admit to that. So what management has to do is make that golf course not in a sense of easy, but fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair if you can't reach a par 4 and 2 if you can hit the ball, let's say, 210 yards. You should be able to hit that green in 2. Okay? So you can't put a high handicapper on a 470-yard hole or 460-yard hole. That's a par 5 for them. And that's how, and that doesn't take away from the golf course being a great course, because the greatness comes in the design. It doesn't come in the length.
Right. Right. Because a short course can be very punishing.
Yeah, I mean, I've played courses that were 6,600 yards long. That'll give you a battle every time you play it.
Right.
But it's because you have to be accurate, and you have to hit the left to right or right to left and those kinds of things. But it's not because you can't reach the green. I mean, that's just stupid golf. To me, that's stupid golf. It really is. And unfortunately, there's so much emphasis on distance today in today's world that, you know, I get these kids at young ages, and they're all swinging out of their shoes. And I say, what are you going to do when you're playing a 20-yard fairway? I mean, you're done. So that's part and parcel of the problem. We're exposed to everybody hits at 330, 340, and some guy out there 50 years old. You know, you feel impotent, for God's sakes.
Yep.
But it's because we've been sold a bill of goods. And the game was never intended to be a driving contest. You know, it really wasn't. It's a game of strategy. It's a game of ball placement. I think they're ruining the game by making the courses longer and longer and longer. For who? I mean, for who? Who can 7,300 yards is a long golf course. Who plays it? Yeah, maybe a kid that beats it out there. But the average guy, man, I mean, you know, if you can't get home in 2, what the heck, you know, time and time again. Sometimes, you know, there'll be one of those holes out there that you say, oh, well, this one, I just got to be happy with a bogey. But you can't do that for 18 holes.
Right. A question about, now I know the obvious answer is, well, because the club is longer. But should you have a different swing, and that's a loaded question, with your driver versus your 9-iron?
No, it's going to be flatter because the ball's farther away from you. But no, conceptually and feel wise, no. And the difficult part is tempo, because we want to swing the driver faster than we do a full swing, let's say, with an 8-iron, and it shouldn't be. It will. The club head will be moving faster because the swing is wider, because the club is longer, and the distance is going to be derived by that longer lever. But you don't try to swing harder. I mean, one of the great things I ever heard was Trevino was saying that, you know, he said, when I played with Nicklaus, he was so long, I didn't watch him hit it. And he said, I used to try to hit a 238, and I would hit a 270. But when I tried to hit a 270, I hit a 238, which I just thought, man, that should be in the Bible, for God's sakes. I mean, it was so absolutely correct, because when you attempt to try to hit the ball harder, your swing gets faster in the backswing, shorter in the backswing, and tighter at impact. That's why a lot of times, you know, we have a shot and we think, that's a 6-iron, but I'm going to hit an easy 5-iron, and we fly the green. We say, what the heck? I hit that 5-iron way farther than that, because you relaxed and you let yourself get that club all the way back and all the way through, because you weren't trying to hit it. You just swung the club. You know, there's a lot to that, you know, and unfortunately, we get that driver in our hand, all of a sudden you see your jaw's tightening up. And that's not, it wasn't intended that. When I tell my boys, the driver is a placement club, not a distance club. It's a place, it's a club to place the ball in the fairway where you've got a good angle to the green. That's all it is. Don't buy into you've got to hit a 350 or 340 or 330 or any of those numbers. Let that happen. Fine. If you can do that, fine. But you don't try to make it happen, because you're just going to, you're going to get handsy, you're going to get your arms ahead of your body, and you're going to hit it all over the place. And, you know, I don't, without naming guys on tour, there's a couple of guys that win a tournament the next week, they, you know, they're at the very bottom because they're all over the place. So when they're timing that big swing, they're okay, but they can't do it every week. And then you got the same guys in the middle of the pack every single week, and then every now and then they break through. But when they don't win, they don't drop to the very bottom. They're always up in contention, and those are the guys that are in control of that club head. They're not out there trying to hit a 350.
Right. No, that's an excellent point. Pick a spot in the fairway and get there. Don't be fair to yourself. Don't try to crush it. Just try to get to your spot.
Yeah, all you're trying to do is set the hole up. That's what the driver does. It sets the hole up for the next shot. Put it a little bit on the left center of the fairway so you're coming in at the right angle. You're not hitting over a bunker or whatever. I mean, Hogan looked at the fairway in quadrants, and he picked out a quadrant and put it there. Hmm. Now, you know, he was pretty special about hitting a golf ball. But if you've cut everything, then get over to the far right of the tee and aim it to the far left of the fairway and let it cut back into the fairway. That's why you're using the whole fairway. Aim it to the right edge of the fairway and let your draw work into the fairway. Now you're using the whole fairway. What a lot of people do, they stand in the middle of the tee and they hit it. They're trying to hit it right straight down the middle. So if they push it, it's going off the fairway. If they pull it, it's going off the fairway because they're only using half of the fairway. Mm. You understand what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And so in most cases, you don't stand in the middle of the tee. You either stand on the left side or the right side based on the shape of your drive. You know, I hit a little cut. Some people hit a little draw. Or if my typical shot cuts or my typical shot draws, and then I'll play that with the driver. I'm gonna position myself on the tee to take advantage of the whole fairway instead of a half of it.
Mm-hmm. So early on in the last episode, when we were talking about, you know, that everybody's swing is unique and it's really all about being square at contact, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And so there is no perfect swing. Is this what we're saying?
Absolutely. That's not possible. That's why fairways are 40 to 50 yards wide and so forth, because there always is going to be a little variance at impact, a little open, a little closed. The more connected and the more rotational you are in your golf swing, the more that you're going to bring the club fairly consistently to the ball, and you'll know where the club head is. That's a big key, is knowing where the club head is. So if you're rolling your forearms over trying to hit a golf ball, there's no way to feel where it is, you know. But when you're rotating your body and that's pulling the arms, and the arms are connected to the body, then the arms feel like a lever connected to a gear, and as you turn the lever moves forward. So you're never swinging your arms freely. All the stuff about a free arm swing should be in the comic books, because it isn't reality. The freer you arm swing, the more the club head has a chance to be open or closed. We don't want that.
Well, Tony, once again, you've been a wealth of information. I so enjoy speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time for these last two episodes. And again, people, if Tony intrigues you at all, there's a lot of calls to action that we've gone through. One is make sure that you check out the video, the Golf Smarter TV, the video that we did together, because it's going to teach you a lot in a short amount of time. You already are a Golf Smarter member. That's why you're listening. And his book and his DVD, both available in our store here at Golf Smarter. Check those out. And if you are going to take a lesson from Tony, and he's very open to this, especially if you're going to bring your kid, book an hour for yourself. Come on, be nice.
Well, Fred, I'd like to just close with one thing.
Please.
For the people out there that have listened to this, you know, there's a lot of pontificating going on, but if you really want to get into this game, find someone that really understands rotation and connection. If they're not using those words to you, and they're trying to get you to hoist the club up in the air and then bring it down, you know, just run. Find somebody, just like going to a doctor, find somebody that understands the simplicity of the golf swing. It isn't rocket science. It's really kind of simplistic once you connect all the parts and then just move them in a rotational move. If you find someone like that and that's patient, you're going to grow in the game and you're going to start enjoying the game. And then go to your golf pro if you belong to a club and tell them a little bit about, why don't we set this golf course up based on what the average guy hits it off the tee? And I think your membership will be very happy. And you don't have to say we're moving it up. Just put the tee in a place where common sense warrants it. And boy, I'll tell you what, the game will be enjoyable for everybody at that club. And you can make the golf course hard. You can narrow the fairways with roughs. You can put the pin in funny positions. So you don't have to worry about it being tough enough.
You don't have to worry about it being tough enough. Wiser words were never spoken. Really, I mean, how many times have your friends refused to play the closer tees because it makes it too easy? Really? Really? Go ahead, challenge them. If they shoot par or 10 shots under their usual score on that at that course, then see how miserable they are. If they're the type to make excuses for every round or every shot, then forget it, you'll never win. But come on, isn't this going to make everybody happier if you just played the correct tees? All right. He amazes me, and I don't know about you, but those two episodes are definitely worth listening to multiple times, if not one more time, or every time you head out to the golf course. There's so much really valuable content from Tony. And in the last, since the last episode was published 7 days ago, I can't believe how many DVDs and books that we have sold. And I even got an email from Don in Boston. Congratulations, Red Sox fans, saying that he's headed to Palm Desert on vacation in a few weeks and is heading directly from the airport to get a lesson from Tony. And he's not the first Golf Smarter listener to do that. I mean, people are flying from the East to go play with Tony. Let me remind you once again about the book and the DVD. It's called The Lost Fundamental, One Simple Move, Better Golf Forever. And they're only available at golfsmarter.com and our Golfers Mart. I'm not kidding. Tony's site is down, so we're it. And before you even ask, let me cut you off here. You know, Tony's 77 years young, and since he's part of the generation, and if you're part of it, I apologize, but, you know, the internet's a series of tubes. So not exactly hip to the concept of making the book or the video available as digital downloads. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. But it is available right here at golfsmarter.com, and you can get it through the app or right on the website. So if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button on the Golf Smarter app or at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.